ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। इट इज वेरी ऑस्पिशियस that all of us have gathered here today to come together and glorify and to recount and remember our supremely good fortune to be under the shelter of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada in this glorious moment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The heart rate is increasing, there is palpitation in the heart as we are eagerly waiting for this great day on 25th of this month. When you are eager to meet somebody very special, your beloved one, your great friend, your spiritual master, then the heart becomes, starts automatically going fast. So, devotees, since the 1st of March, tend to set this beautiful mood of Gaura Bhakti by regularly singing every morning after Guru Puja the Sachi Sut Astakam, this very illustrious and profoundly beautiful song, uniquely glorifying the attributes of this most divine personality. And as days go by, rolling closer and closer, last Sunday Shyamanand Prabhu added more eagerness by his beautiful presentation on the glories of Mahaprabhu. So, I just felt that being their obedient servant, I should carry the mood further and speak. What better topic to speak on today than about the supremely Sara Shiro Mani. We just sang this very devotional bhajan. Sava Avatar Sara Shiro Mani. There is a crown. A great king wears a crown. It's made of pure gold, studded with rubies and diamonds. The most effulgent of all diamonds is set in the center of the crown. That is called a Shiro Mani, which outsparks in its brilliance all other jewels surrounding it on the crown. Therefore, it is the most important. So, all the avatars of the Lord are like those brilliant jewels, but the glory of Mahaprabhu shines even more brilliantly. Why? Because it is very dark around. When things are very dark, then even a small light is very powerful. So even though he is not different from all other incarnations who came before him, the brilliance of his effulgence on the planet Earth and all over the universe is most profoundly felt, because it is the darkest of all times. So, we would like to spend some time today, next few minutes, to revise. In Krishna consciousness, nothing is in that sense ever new. It's always a revision. We just chant the same mantra every day, we worship the same God every day, we read the same books every day, we keep revising. But there is inherent newness into the same old thing. That is the nature of spiritual life. That it is the same old mantra being chanted for millions of years now, but within that mantra itself is an ever increasing newness. The same God, Krishna and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we worship every day. They are not new gods like the gods who are around in Bombay and elsewhere, who just pop up like mushrooms every now and then, and they die very soon. But these are the oldest gods. We have been worshipped for millions and millions and billions of years. But in worshipping them, there is a taste of newness. Nava Gauravaram, Nava Pushpasaram, Nava Bhavadharam. Everything is new about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everything is Nava, new. So, even though we may speak about the same subjects, hear about the same subjects, read about the same subjects, but inherently within them is a flavor of increasing sweetness in the heart. that makes spiritual life so exciting and dynamic in contrast to material life, which is so stagnant. As Bhakti Charu Maharaj often says, material life is static, but spiritual life is ecstatic. It's really true, is it not? It's really ecstatic. We just had ecstatic kirtan. One of our finest singers in the temple sang. Everyone was so, I was hearing, so beautiful. So what are the various wonderful gifts, divine attributes? Krishna has said this, the process of purification for going back to Godhead has been defined. Like in science, you have scientific processes or methods. If you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get that. If you burn sulfur at this degree, at 444, you get liquefaction. If you burn iron at this point, you get like this. There is always very set reactions. In medical science, if you give this drug, you get this effect. Everything is like that. Scientific. So, if you want to know the process of going back to Godhead, you do this, 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 and this. It's a science. Vigyan. It is supreme science, in fact. So, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam. Evam yaveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma. That is, the process is to try and understand the divinity of the Lord's appearance and the divinity of the Lord's activities. His janma and his divine transcendental karma, his activities. So, that's the process of Sri Krishna given to all of us. So, we applied the same formula to the life of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya. Let us see what we can learn today to re-enthuse our heart in taking complete shelter of the Yuga Avatar, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. There are many unique features which go with his personality, and only the most fortunate in this world shall be able to realize the shelter they will get through Gauranga Mahaprabhu. In the Adi Leela, 7th chapter, there is a nice shloka. Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Tanhar Charanashrita Sei Bada Dhanya. That Dhanya, fortune, Bada Dhanya, great fortune. That anybody who takes shelter, Charana Ashrita, who takes shelter of the Charan of who? Sri Krishna Chaitanya, is Bada Dhanya, very fortunate. This is very important for us to understand, because the overwhelming symptom of the entire age of Kali is inherent misfortune. Prayana alpayusha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Hi upadritaha. Everyone is so terribly disturbed. Upadritaha, disturbed always. Why is everyone disturbed? Because of all these factors. Short life, less memory, less strength. And by and large, this is given by Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the effect of time. The external energy of the Lord is governed by time. Everything in the material world which you see around us is governed. But governed by? Everything depends according to the effects of time factor, kala. So that we are living in Kali Yuga, so we are bound to be affected by that time. The kala going on now is Kali Yuga. So what is Kali Yuga's kala? What are the subjective effects of kala seen in society? These are the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Life goes down, memory goes down, and basically everyone goes into a state of lamentable manda bhagya. They try to counteract that by buying a lottery to get some bhagya. Or going to the share market to get some bhagya, bhagya lakshmi. They try to counteract the manda bhagya of Kali Yuga in so many ways. But it is an impossible task, because who can overcome the power of time? Is there anybody who can overcome time? No. The hair will grow grey and the eyes become cataract, the joint will start shaking with arthritis. You cannot counteract the effect of time. So all of us in this age of Kali Yuga, the whole human society, animal society, trees, all living entities are under the huge, dark, looming cloud of Kali Yuga, which pours not healthy rains which give nourishing nice fruits and trees, but pour only misfortune. There are rains in a polluted area called as acid rains. Those rains destroy crops rather than creating crops. They destroy health rather than creating, regenerating life. So in Kali Yuga, you have such acid rains of misfortune pouring heavily upon all that live in this dark age of Kali. So Kaviraj Goswami congratulates all Gauranga Mahaprabhu's devotees in this shloka and all those who are sincerely following the path of the Hare Krishna movement. He said, all of us are bada dhanya. We are all very, very fortunate. So we should remember, recount and be grateful that where the whole society seems to be suffering in the ocean of lamentation, Kali Yuga is described that in Kali Yuga, people are interested only in two activities. Two activities. Satisfying the demands of the belly and the burning demands of the genitals. That is the only two activities which seem to stimulate the people of Kali Yuga. Nothing else stimulates them. So in this dark age, to be getting the shelter of Mahaprabhu is great fortune. It is a time when, imagine how horrible this time is, a time where all adharma, impiety, sinful activities, horrible, corrupt states of consciousness, all will be promoted as dharma. Adharma which shall be promoted loudly as dharma. What good fortune can come about in such an era? Where activities which are promoting piety will be considered as impious. So devotees are generally not appreciated a lot in society. People don't like to see, you know, having friends and relatives and sons and daughters wearing tilak and kanti and dhoti, and we are not appreciated a lot. We are not being praised for our good activities of coming to temple and chanting and dancing and singing and like that. So that's the state of affairs here. All adharma will pass as dharma. That means practically there is no awareness of the need for a regulated life of devotion to God. There is no awareness. There is no felt need. There is, as such, there is no demand for this product of bhakti. So, the supreme marketing personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, comes. And he knows that you all are not going to have any demand, you have no desire, but he still gives it to you nonetheless. You just take it. But I don't need, you just still take it and chant Hare Krishna. So, that's the great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is considered as a Channa avatar. Channa Kalau. So, by and large in India, and definitely out elsewhere, he is not even known by people of this world. People are worshipping and glorifying cricket stars day and night, recounting their glories. It's like we want to hear every shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam attentively. They want to hear every ball and what it, you know, every ball bowled and every, you know, run taken and every catch held. So they want to go into the details of the activities of these so-called modern gods. But people are not aware. Even those who read the scripture shall not know this. We have seen that even Sarovam Bhattacharya, who was such a profound mountain of a scholar, even he did not have that awareness and understanding that in Kali Yuga, Krishna does come. Even though he is called as Triyugi, he does come in Kali Yuga also. You are not aware of this. And we all of us don't have an understanding of what is the scholarship of Sarovam Bhattacharya. He is incarnation of Brihaspati. That is the scholarship. Keshav Kashmiri had Saraswati on his tongue That means all his scriptures were on his tongue. But he was also unaware about the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Till he was defeated by him and blessed. So those who read the scriptures also, the Upanishads, Prakashan Saraswati, all these people, they knew so much scripture. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Channa Kalau, Channa Avatar of Kali Yuga, covered. That's why people still don't know him so much. It is up to us, people who are sitting here in this beautiful room, in front of Radha Gopinath Gaurnitai, it is our sacred duty, which Mahaprabhu has given us, Bharata Bhumita Hoila, Manush Janma Jar, Janma Sarthak Kari Kara, Paropakar. To give out this message to others, to tell them, know that the Lord has come. So for this entire universe, the most important event in time, while people are in, historians are, you know, talking about Renaissance period and Columbus coming and conquering, you know, trying to come to India for selling or buying some spices and all that, Portuguese coming here and Frenchmen coming to, Daman Diu and like that. All this history, you know, vague, which we just learn in our school. This is not actually relevant history. History, it is history, it is some data, some information. But what is the relevance to our life of somebody coming, you know, and coming to sell some spices or buy some spices from India? What is the relevance of that? Is it not true? Somebody came to some island down there in the south, and then we are talking about it even now. They came to sell, you know, clove and mirchi powder and all. What is that? It's very stupid. Our history is basically a collection of stupid data. But the relevant history is Srimad Bhagavatam. The relevant history is the Puranic history. History of this entire universe. The most important events which take place in the universe are broadcasted there. That's relevant history for human beings. So, in terms of history, talking of the only relevant year are two. Of course, I may appear very fanatical, but but that's a fact. The most important dates in history are 1486 and 1896. Because in 1486, the Lord came to this world, not some stupid spice-selling businessman. The Supreme Lord, who never ever steps on this land of earth, because it's such a degraded place. Manusha Yoni is not a very much inferior type of Yoni. Demigods are there. They are the high Yonis, the high class people. The Lord goes there when Indra performs Yajna. But Earth planet, nobody wants to come here. Anarpita charim chirat karuna avtirna kalau samarpitam unnata ujvala rasam svabhaktim sriyam. That person came to give something to the most fallen people of this Kali Yuga. Something which was not given for not thousands of years, not hundreds and thousands of years, not millions of years, for billions of years he came to give something which was not given to anybody who lived in this place called Earth. What is that commodity? Anarpita. Arpita means to offer, which was never given. Anarpita. Charim Chirat, for a long, long time in history of 4.64 billion years. This was never made available to anybody. Such a rare product. You know, because in a consumer society, we talk of products, right? Everything is by products. So this rare commodity was not even available, not even known that it existed. The Lord brought that. That's the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once in a day of Brahma, he comes and gives the rare jewel of that. What does he give? What is the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Why are we talking about him? He gives an opportunity which is so rare. An opportunity to receive a special type of love. which can conquer the supreme personality of Godhead. A type of loving sentiment, the same type of loving sentiment which is experienced in the very pure heart of Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Vrindavan. The same mood of love where they experience boundless love for the all-attractive Lord. That same mood of love is being offered to us. Huh? Is it not something special? Huh? It's supremely special. He has adopted two things from Srimati Radharani, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurat Vishe Namaha. He is Krishna, Rasaraj, the relisher of all mellows. He is borrowed from Radharani two things. First is the color of Radharani's own body. Tvisha Akrishnam. He has not come as Shyam Sundar Krishna with the color of a blue, nice, beautiful monsoon rain cloud. No. Akrishnam. Tvisha. Tvisha means the color of the skin. His skin color is the color of Srimati Radharani. Unique, is it not? Does anybody have a golden color in this world? We have seen Mongoloids. We have seen Japanese. We have seen blacks in Africa. We have Gauvarnya of India, wheat colored. But is there any Gauravarna, golden colored? Have you seen such a person ever? Those who have seen Prabhupada say he had that. his body was shining golden. Quite obviously, by being so much in touch with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just shone with his effulgence. Golden colored body. Very rare. The Lord's body color are not ordinary. Shukla, Rakta, Pita. Shyam. White colored body. Rakta, red colored body. Pita, yellow colored body. Golden colored. And Shyam, black. These are the four colors he comes. Four colors of the four Yuga avatars. Golden colored body. And he also borrowed from Radharani her own mood. Krishna came to taste the nectar of love. The same type of love as Radharani experiences for him. He wanted to taste that. That's a very high subject. But the glory of the subject is that the same thing with Radharani is experiencing for Krishna, that was made available to all of us. That's special. And hopefully at some point of time in life, we will be able to truly appreciate this rare gift. What does it really mean to have the same sentiment of love which is explained by Radharani to a tiny insignificant jivatma, sinful jivatma like us? It's exclusively her privilege to relish and enjoy. Exclusively her prerogative to share with Krishna. That same prerogative she is sharing with all residents of Kali Yuga. And how does it happen? What type of process would be, complicated process would be necessary to harness that love of Radha into our heart? It has to be some very complex process, is it not? To harness that energy, that shakti, that divine shakti of prema to get into our heart would be such a rare, difficult process. But no. That is what makes it very unique. When the time period is long in terms of lifespans, the process of Yuga Dharma given also is something which takes a lot of time to fructify. So when the time span is 1 lakh years in Satyuga, it would take many thousands of years to get Krishna Prema through Dhyan. It would take a lot of time to perform Yajnas, many thousands of Yajnas to get Krishna Prema through sacrifices. And actually, they don't even get Krishna Prem, actually. They can at the most reach Vaikuntha planets. Krishna himself says how rare it is to achieve him in Gita. Krishna Bhakti, which is something which we just think is ordinary and something which we just take it for granted. Krishna himself says how rare this thing is. Manushyanam sahasreshu कश्चित यतति सिद्धये इदाम अपि सिद्धानां कश्चिन नामति तत्वतः. आउट ऑफ थाउजेंड्स अमंग मेन वेरी फ्यू विल बी एबल टू यू नो हैव सम इंटरेस्ट इन दिस सब्जेक्ट. आउट ऑफ थाउजेंड्स हू टेक इंटरेस्ट इन सब्जेक्ट फ्यू विल बी एबल टू अंडरस्टैंड समथिंग अबाउट इट. एंड ऑफ दोज हू अंडरस्टैंड दिस सब्जेक्ट क्लियरली वेरी रेयरली दे विल बी अंडरस्टैंड मी इन फुल. सो प्रभुपाद स्पीकिंग इन मायापुर 1974 2nd of March, one beautiful lecture where he says this, that to achieve Krishna is a very, very difficult job. It's very difficult. So, you know, in Kali Yuga, if something is so difficult, I said, who wants to do it? Then forget it. If we were told like this, oh, so difficult, so rare, I'm definitely not interested in this. So, if we were told like that, you know, but Prabhupada then told, the glory of Mahaprabhu is that he makes that very rarely most difficult thing to achieve something which is very. It's because Kali Yuga is a short span, 100 years to start with, averaging now about 60-65 years only. Today we were in the hospital, Bhakti Vedanta, and I was taking my morning rounds. And we had a 27-year-old lady in the ICU. And we've been treating her for the last few days. And she has massive diabetes. Diabetes going into 400 with all complications, what is called as ketosis. Ketosis means sort of like poisoning of the sugar is run into poison. So we're discussing with our friend consultant, says, what is this? 27 and massive diabetes? Said, yes, that's, we see that very often nowadays. I mean, you know, he deals with that diabetes a little more. He said, people usually come, he told me that they usually heard for many, many years. But they only come to know when they have complications. That means she probably had diabetes when she was in her 20s, early 20s. Kali Yuga is the ocean of faults. Diabetes at 20 years, Hari Bol, free. Everything starts early. Smoking starts early, you know. Catch them young. That's, I mean, in Mayadevi knows this. Catch them young. Heart attack, 60, 65. Now catch them young, 30 heart attack, take it. Catch them young. And kill them. That's Kali Yuga. It's a horrible age. We are in such gross ignorance. We may call ourselves devotees, but sometimes we are blissfully unaware of the scenario of the world around us. Most of us don't read newspapers, don't watch television. We really don't know what's happening, but it's a terrible time going on. It's a terrible time going on. So, in this terrible time, to get something so rare, which Mahaprabhu has got, is very wonderful. So only in the matter of few years, even if life was spent of 60 years, Prabhupada gave us this guarantee, what they could probably get very rarely, 100,000 years of tapasya in Himalayas, we can get in a matter of few years only. Few years. Chaitanya Bhagavat says even further, I mean, it just gives a, you know, some unbelievable type of mercy. He said only to two things. Vrindavan Das Thakur says two things. Chant Hare Krishna mantra every day and don't offend Vaishnavas. If you just do these two things for this one lifetime, you'll go back to Godhead. Hari Bol. Two things. That is the crystallized mercy. Crystallized essence of mercy. Packaged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Therefore, this process is so simple. The most fallen people getting the highest thing. The most degraded species getting the highest product of Krishna Prem. A lot of contrast. The most rarely achieved thing given in a short span of time. That's the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even then, the mercy is still further crystallized. Rock bottom. Because we may chant Hare Krishna, we understand, oh, Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya should be worshipped in the stage of Kali Yuga. Very good. I'll worship him. But in Kali Yuga, we have a problem. Not one problem, many problems. One of the problems is that we are by nature offensive. Is it not? Obviously, because if this Kali Yuga is basically age of quarrel and hypocrisy, then quarrel leads to always offensive behavior. If you quarrel with somebody, you cannot be non-offensive with him. You cannot be loving at the same time, quarreling with him. So husband and wife quarrel and they become offensive. Friends quarrel and they become offensive. Business partners quarrel and they become offensive to each other. Nations quarrel and they become offensive. And they build ICBMs to kill each other. So offensive nature is inherent in Kali Yuga. So Mahaprabhu understands this. Even when they worship me, they are bound to commit offenses. And that will destroy everything. So what did Mahaprabhu do? Okay, you worship me, but I will take no offenses. Ye bhi maaf. This also is given away. Prabhupada was so merciful. He said to one devotee, I don't remember whom, he said that, just make dolls of Gaur and Nitai. Just dolls. People don't have to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. I mean, imagine. Imagine this thing. So you don't have to worship this person. But he will still give you Krishna Prem. Without even worshipping him. Krishna made tall order. He said, Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Okay. For surrender to me. Then Aham Tvam Swara Bape Bhyo. Then I will, negate your file. Make it blank. Relieve your false sinful reactions. Mahaprabhu said, okay, you want Krishna Prem? Don't worship me. Don't surrender to me. Nothing. Prabhupada said, let's make mass production of these dolls of Gaur Nitai and distribute them. Don't tell people this is a murti of God. Just give it out to people at a very cheap rate. Let them just keep it in their showcases as a decorative piece. People keep, dolls and, you go to people's houses, they keep nice women and with a deer or, in the forest or some nice painting or whatever like that. It's common. Let them just keep it as a showpiece. Even then, if Mahaprabhu is there as a doll, nobody sees him, no offering, no Sandhya Bhog, no Mangal Arati is given to them. No offering is, nothing is done. They just put in a glass case and shut. And that fellow is doing his business. Even then, from there, Mahaprabhu will somehow infuse Krishna Prem in that person's heart. That's the nature of Mahaprabhu's mercy. Unbelievable. It's simply unbelievable. This is definitely inconceivable. Of course, in this wonderful Leela of Mahaprabhu, talking about the Lord's unique features, he did something which no other avatar did before also. No avatar took to the renounced order of life. They didn't become sannyasis. Narsingadev, Vamandev was a brahmachari. But he did not take sannyas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like a regular man of Kali Yuga should do, brahmachari life, and a Gangadas Pandit, Garasa life, first married Lakshmi Priya, who's Bhushakti of the Lord. She left her body in separation, married again Vishnu Priya, who is incarnation of Rukmini Devi, married her. Led a very beautiful, nice grihastha life in Navadvip. But at a young age, urgency. At a very young age of 24 years only, he couldn't bear to actually give out this commodity of Krishna Prem to others. He couldn't bear to just wait for it. So, but there was a bondage there. How could he travel over the world and give people Krishna Prem freely when he is bound to the love of Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya? At the cost of breaking the hearts of his dearmost devotees. One of the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is it is Vaishnava Prana Nayaka. One of his names is Vaishnava Prana Nayaka. He is the hero of his worshippers. He is their Prana Dhana. Murari Gupta, Haridas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, all the associates of Mahaprabhu and Navadvip, how much love they had for him. Sachi Mata's love. Who can fathom the love? We have experience of one love of a mother in our heart. We know what a loving mother is like. because we have all been nurtured by the love of our mother. Such a beautiful sentiment to relish in your heart, the love of a mother. Imagine the love of a loving mother multiplied by 1 billion. 1 billion mother's love in one person. That is Mother Yashoda, who came as Sachi Mata. Which son can give up the love of a mother of the type of Yashoda Mai or Sachi Mata? Therefore, he is glorified as Sachi Suta. He is glorified like that. Sachi Sut, the dearmost son of Sachi Mata. To give up her, so difficult. But Mahaprabhu could not wait. The sense of urgency was burning in his heart. So he left the entire family, took sannyas, and lived for half his life, 24 to 48 years. He lived in this world 48 years only, and then disappeared. For half his life, he lived a life of a pakka, perfect sannyas. That's a unique part of Mahaprabhu's life. Stayed at Jagannath Puri for 18 years and traveled all over for 6 years. That was the prime purpose, to travel and preach, to give the message. And how very dynamic was that? How very powerful was that mercy? Pashupakhi Jhure, there is a painting here. This shows the extent of miracle of Mahaprabhu's mercy. He just sang this beautiful song. Pashupakhi Jhure, Pashana Vidare, Suni Yara Guna Gatha. No other did that also. Mahaprabhu is unique in so many ways. He's the most unique avatar which will ever take place in the history of this universe. So it is always nice to remember and relish in our hearts his unique attributes. He made wild elephants chant Hare Krishna. Who can do that? Mahaprabhu was at Jarikhanda forest, and he just, nice pond of water was there, sat down there, just relishing the atmosphere of this dense forest. Wild animals all around. Who will dare to go to such a place? You can imagine what was happening to Balabhadra Bhattacharya at that time. He was a servant, and he must be shaking in his whatever. Rhinoceros, wild snakes, wild buffaloes, all these all around. And this huge herd of mad wild elephants come on the same water pond to drink water. Mahaprabhu just looks at them with so much of love. Oh, I should give them also Krishna Prem. Takes some water in his hand and just splashes on them. And there they go wild. They just become wild, chanting loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You see, this beautiful painting is not imagination. It happened, historically recounted by acharyas. Tiger kissing a deer. Krishna Prem can do that. What can Krishna Prem not do? Krishna Prem can do anything. The most worst enemies singing together hand in hand. Nam Sankirtan. That is the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nobody can do that. Unless you have Gaura Shakti, then you can probably do that. There's one associate, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was that wild elephant. Which devotee was that? Anybody remembers? Sachidanand. Rasikanand, yes. Rasikanand. Rasikanand Prabhu was like that. Of course, he is also God, not a Jivatma. He is Aniruddha. So when a wild elephant, the king was saying this, the Muslim king said, I have heard all these bogus babas and sadhus and all. This is the acid test. this ferocious elephant destroying the entire kingdom of mine. Let's see what happens when he attacks this person. Can he actually make him tamed? So Rasikana Prabhu saw, this is a challenge given to you. Let's go. So he went on a huge maidan was there. He sat down on the maidan, waiting for the elephant to come. Well, the Asurs also were there. Asurs said, exciting, let's see, the spectacle. Elephant coming. Wild elephant. Man-eating elephant. Very ferocious. Uncontrolled. You can imagine. Elephant uncontrolled, terrible destruction. So when he charged at them, he charged at them with wild, ferocious anger. All associates just ran away from there immediately. Rasikana Prabhu just sat there, peacefully, smiling, looking so mercifully at this wild creature, monster. And as the wild was charging, coming close to destroy him, his opponent, as soon as he came close, he just seemed to lose ground. He just calmed down and started offering obeisances. Vancha Kalpatru Vyascha, you are saying. He lost all his ferocity. Darshana Pavitra Karo, E Tumara Gun. This is the power of Vaishnava. He became purified of his animosity, became a humble Vaishnava. Rasikana Prabhu just stood up. His ears were sloppy there. He opened his right ear. And he chanted inside. What did he chant? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And what did he tell him? Your new name shall be Gopal Das. He gave him Diksha. And the elephant became Gopal Das. And the miracle was true. This elephant went all over the entire jungle and converted many other animals into Vaishnavas. This is a true story. This is power of association of somebody who has the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, our Prabhupada is no less than that. As you know, in the zoo, right? You all of you know the example. There's a zoo somewhere in America. You go to all these cages, the cobra is there, and then the wild tiger is there, and all this. And then they write that the most ferocious animal. So I think, yeah. Who's that? Who's that? I want to see everyone. You paid a lot of money. I want to see who's most ferocious. And there is a big mirror over there. And you go, me. Man. The most ferocious animal is man. Is it not true? It's true. He's destroying millions of fishes in the water, destroying the earth, destroying the air. So much destruction he's doing. The most ferocious fellow. Most wild. Cannot be tamed practically. You can tame snakes and animals, but you can't tame a human being. The worst species in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada did that miracle. He went to a place which abounds in such wild animals. New York City. And being blessed by the same Gaur Shakti. Gaur Shakti was in his heart. He could make all these wild hippies. To humble Vaishnavas. What Narada Muni did to Mrigari or Valmiki, such stray stories come in Puranas and they are glorified. Oh, one wild hunter became a Vaishnava. It's glorified so much. How much more is glorified Prabhupada in that sense? By the same blessings of Narada Muni, how much more he could achieve? How much more was he empowered? Not just one Valmiki, thousands of hunters. Wild people who are just eating raw flesh were converted into Vaishnavas. That is the power of Gaur Shakti. That is Gaur Shakti. Miracle of Gaur Shakti. All the descendants of Mahaprabhu are infused with this Gaur Shakti. We say, Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchitananda Namine Gaur Shakti Swarupaya Rupa Anugavarayate. Acharya, all these Acharyas, especially Thakur Bhakti Vinod, the modern pioneer of Krishna consciousness movement. He made this prophecy in this, as I said, the second important date for Kali Yuga is 1896. Why? Because His Divine Grace, the most empowered Saktavesh Avatar Acharya, descended in Bengal. In that very year, many things happened in that year. That year is very special, truly. Not only Prabhupada came, that's one of the biggest events for this universe. But Thakur Bhaktivinoda made a prophecy also. So there will be a universal church created in this world, which will break the boundaries created by religious doctrines of Muslims and Hindus and this and that and all these artificial barriers created into watertight compartments of dharma. There will be a universal church created by the Naam Sankirtan movement. And it's true, it's happening. The most beautiful experience of this we had just last month. Is it not? At Prabhupada's festival in Cross Maidan, we saw 86 flags fluttering so beautifully. In United Nations also there are many flags. But the disunited nations, all flags showing that, you know, showing their own separate identity and false ego. It's a disunited nation. Everyone can understand that. There is no peace in this world. There is no unity. Where is unity? Where is the unity? When you're talking about the whole UNO is such a humbug thing. There is no damn unity in this world. The whole organization is just a facade. It's a cheating thing. Where is the unity? I suppose the biggest organization of the world is UNO. It's a big prestigious body of supposed to be intelligentsia of this entire planet Earth. But they are not able to create any unity whatsoever. It's a bogus thing. The only man who could really achieve in unity was Srila Prabhupada. That was boldly depicted by Shyam Sundar Prabhu on this festival. 86 flags fluttering together. All these flags under the banner of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's banner. The Gaudiya banner. The whole globe showed that. The whole globe, which was in the center of that beautiful pandal, showed how in every country now worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. So only person who could really do anything which closer to unity was Srila Prabhupada. He made a house in which the whole world can live. Whole world, one house. In one house, usually two people, husband and wife, cannot live nowadays. Big house, two members, they cannot live. And so you go there, you know, let's live separately. They cannot live. Unlivable circumstances. But to make a house where the whole world can live, what about fighting? We will miss that, right? What about quarreling? What about our hypocritical behavior? Sankirtan. Our process, so nice. Our process is so beautiful. Mahaprabhu's, there's one, Mahaprabhu is one word, one word. What is Mahaprabhu's movement? If you want to say in one word, then there's somebody asks, this, in the quiz they ask this question, one word. How will you portray Mahaprabhu's entire movement in one word? The one word is Sankirtan. The golden word. Why Sankirtan is the golden word? Because it is the spirit of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is only one God. Not these so many stupid gods like they are around here. One God, there is Krishna. And the whole spiritual world is united in serving Radha Krishna. Everybody, the grass, the trees, the peacocks, the monkeys, the gopas, the gopis, the Vaikuntha Vasis, all of them are united to serve Lakshmi Narayan or Radha Krishna. That is called as Sankirtan. Everyone coming together to glorify Radha Krishna. Samyak. Sankirtan comes from the Sanskrit word Samyak, to come, to bring together. So Mahaprabhu did that. He brought everything together. Brought the whole world together. Prabhupada did that. He brought the whole world together. That is the beauty of Mahaprabhu's movement. In one kirtan, we were at Siddha Mayapur. Some of you were probably there in this kirtan also. Last time. In the evening, we were having kirtan in the auspicious, most pure, holy garden of Chandrodaya Mandir. It was 1st of January. Right? And there was kirtan which was being led. And Radhana Swami made a beautiful comment. He said, "Oh, in this kirtan of Gaurang Mahaprabhu, there are Sindhis dancing with Marwadis. There are people who are, you know, Hindus dancing with Muslims. And Maharashtrians dancing with people from Belgaum. And Russians dancing with Chinese," like that. So he just went on saying how there are diverse, complete diverse groups of people in this kirtan. We are about maybe 1,000 of us there in that kirtan. Young dancing with the old. All complete diversity of the group was there. And he brought out the whole diversity of the group. But how everyone is still dancing together. That is called as Sankirtan. So all our festivals, drama festival or Barsana eye camp or this festival, that is all meant for what? To just bring people together. This temple, what is it meant for? Krishna does not need a big temple like this. He can stay anywhere. He can stay in a cave also. He can stand on the ground and still a cow will come and give him milk. But this temple is made for all of us to come together. To come together in Sankirtan and glorify Radha Krishna. That's the purpose of any temple. To bring people of diverse groups, or different nationalities, different ethnic backgrounds, social backgrounds, financial, economic backgrounds, to bring them to all together on one platform. Where all other artificial designations are dissolved. Sarvopadhi Vinirmuktam. All the things are dissolved. The IITian hai, and lawyer is there, and man and woman, any background, whatever you are, all are welcome. And everything else will be dissolved. Industrialist or thelawala selling coconuts. Anybody. All are welcome. On one platform. Everything, all other barriers which divide people are dissolved. To come together and chant the holy names. Right? This is the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He unites. In fact, he also, one of the most unique contributions of Mahaprabhu in terms of integrating or uniting is how he integrated all the sampradayas. This is something very, very beautiful to understand. It is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, only he could do this. Nobody could do this. Who could unite sampradayas? Yes, everyone is, these are all Vaishnava sampradayas. Rudra Sampradaya, Kumar Sampradaya, Shri Sampradaya, Brahma Sampradaya. But they still have the sampradayic, I cannot say egos, but whatever. Something which still separates them. That sort of identity does not prevent to bring about harmony. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a sampradaya, the Gaudiya Sampradaya. It is almost like a fifth sampradaya. By synthesis of these four diverse sampradayas. And he collected from each of the sampradayas two different important teachings of that sampradaya. And amalgamated them all within the realm of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. From the Madhava Sampradaya, established by Madhavacharya, he took two things. Strong opposition of Mayavad. Prabhupada. This is his glory. The Madhava identity of Prabhupada. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. That's his Madhava identity of the Sampradaya. He destroyed Mayavad all over the world. Prabhupada, you know, the Sampradaya is very anti. They will not. In any gathering, when Mayavad is spoken, devotees become very upset. Anti-Mayavad and establishing an understanding that the deity of the Lord is an eternal being. Deity worship. Those two things come from Madhva Sampradaya. From Sri Sampradaya, headed by Ramanujacharya, South India. Many temples, all of you may have been in South India, are all under the, you know, governing of the Sri Sampradaya. You know the Sri Tilak, at the center, that is Sri Tilak, Ramanuja Sampradaya. Two points from there were, bhakti unpolluted by the admixture of gyan and karma. Rupa Goswami incorporated this in his definition. Jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishna anushilanam. So that is a Sri identity of our sampradaya. That bhakti of such a pure and high degree, not mixed with any fruitive desire of karma or any speculative motives through jnana. Jnana karmadi anavritam. And second point in Ramanuja Sampradaya is service to the Vaishnavas, service to the devotees. That's so much in our Sampradaya, is it not? Kalil Kaler Dharma Vaishnav Seva Hari Nam. In the age of Kali Yuga, there are not one Yuga Dharma, there are two Yuga Dharmas in Kali Yuga. This is interesting. Very interesting. Because only by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, you will not go back to Godhead. Why? I just said it, is it not, few minutes back? That we will go back to God if we chant Hare Krishna mantra? There is a condition. Krishna will only reveal himself in the holy name, in his fullest glory, provided you humble yourself in serving Krishna's devotees. That is the point. To have the Lord's fullest glory manifest, when we chant our japa or do kirtan, the Lord will not enter and manifest in our heart. He will only in fact do that when we humble ourselves in serving His devotees. Vaishnav Seva. So that point has been sort of taken, adopted from the Sri Sampradaya. And that's so much a prominent part of our temple here. Is it not? To serve every guest with love. To serve every newcomer with such hospitality. That's the hallmark of Radha Gopinath temple. That's the culture which we are being trained to adopt into our lives. Treating every devotee as a special person. Big or small, senior or junior, irrespective. Every person here is important. And worthy of our service. That comes from where? From the Sri Sampradaya. This mood which Ghanshyam Maharaj portrayed in Vrindavan, this great, very saintly personality. He used to tell like this. He said, oh, you are, he was having these deities of Gopijana Vallabh. So he should always say like this. When anybody come to his small closet for visiting, he would say, oh, you are Gopijana Vallabh's friend. I am simply his servant. That is the mood of a Vaishnav. That everybody who is coming to this temple, he is Gopinath's friend. And you all who live here, who are part of this temple, we are his servants. So when they come here, it is a great festival for us to welcome them nicely. That glorious mood which makes this beautiful temple so special, that comes from the mood of the Sri Sampradaya. We are so grateful for that thing which Mahaprabhu has done to give us this genuine mood of seva. Without which our heart would become very hard if we were to chant Hare Krishna. And from the Rudra Sampradaya headed by Vishnu Swami, he took two points. Very glorious points. Very important points. Total dependence on Sri Krishna in all situations of life. Shadvida Sharanagati, in the six symptoms of surrender, this is one of the symptoms of surrender. To always depend on Krishna. Second point is spontaneous devotional service, the devotion in the Raga Marga. What we are all doing right now is the Vidhi Marga of Sadhana Bhakti. But then there is another Marga called as Raga Marga or spontaneous, where there is no rules and regulations, just loving, offering love to the Lord in a spontaneous bhav. We can't imitate. We have to go through our channel of our sampradaya, Vidhi Marg, Sadhana Bhakti, and then Ragatmika will come little later. So that has come from the Rudra Sampradaya. From the Kumar Sampradaya, headed by Nimbarka Acharya. This very great soul, Nimbarka Acharya. Very special teachings of Nimbarka we have adopted so much in our Sampradaya. First is taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. And worshipping and serving Krishna in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. These are Nimbarki concepts of their Sampradaya. So in our movement also, we are Gaudiyas. So in our Sampradaya also, Radharani is such a special position. In fact, this beautiful bhajan explains, yada gaurna hoito, tabe ki hoito, that particular bhajan which is there, if Gauranga Mahaprabhu had not come to this world, many things would not have happened. First of all, this lecture would not be here. We would not be here. I mean, many things would have happened in our life. Many worse things would happen in our life. But among the things which really happened was that the people of this world got to understand the glory of the highest devotee of Sri Krishna. Krishna has so many billions of devotees. But all of billions and billions of devotees all over the entire creation, one is singled out as the highest devotee. And that is Srimati Radharani. So what is the glory of her love? What makes her so special in the eyes of Krishna? How can people like us ever know what is the nature of her love? What access do we have to that understanding and information? We don't. But in the descent of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, in his bhava which is depicted, Radhya Dyuti Bhava, in his bhava which is depicted, he depicted the bhava of Srimati Radharani's love for Sri Krishna. So we got to know the glory of the ecstasy of love of Radha for Krishna. That's another very great contribution of. And what would happen to Mahaprabhu's body when he went into that Mahabhava of Radharani? Another unique feature of Mahaprabhu, he showed ecstasy which the world has never seen before. In fact, ecstatic love was not even known in the Sampradaya of the Vaishnavas. It was not even known. Therefore, the first time came into this planet Earth in the heart of Madhavendra Puri in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And it fully blossomed in its climax in the behavior of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the nature of Radharani's love? What happens to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he tastes love for Krishna in the mood of Radha? What happens to his body? What happens is bizarre, inconceivable things happen to Mahaprabhu's transcendental body. In fact, this is a proof that Mahaprabhu's body must definitely not be material. Even though he's looking like a human being, Krishna looks like a human being, his body is Sachitananda. Mahaprabhu's body would become, his hands would go into his body. His entire fingers, forearm, arm going into his chest. His thighs and calves and legs going into his abdomen. His head sitting inside his, I'm getting some vague type of ecstasy here. Leg is going to a cramp. Definitely material body. Mahaprabhu's body became like a pumpkin. All of us seen a pumpkin, right? Bhopla. Mahaprabhu's body at the Simhadwara gate, in the middle of the night, he would run away from Kambira, and the devotees would search for him. Where is he? Where is he? Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He was right here. And Govinda also was guarding the place. Where did he go? Everyone searching here and there, everywhere. Oh, he's at the Simhadwara gate. They go there, they find Mahaprabhu's body is withdrawn like that. Like a huge pumpkin. And sometimes the opposite would happen. His arm and forearm would start separating out. Like this. It defies the laws of medicine. Your ligaments don't stretch like that, do they? I mean, you have somebody's hand, you pull it. What happens? It breaks. That's what happens in a fight. You pull somebody's hand, it goes off. But Mahaprabhu's body did not have material ligaments like they have in our body. Do you like separate like this? And his body would become very long. He's already very long. 7 feet tall he was. He's a very big person. In size, material size also. But his body become elongated to 9 feet, 10 feet. Because, and then again it would come back. When you dance sometimes, this would happen again. The ecstasy is something which we cannot imagine. Mahaprabhu's ecstasy was inconceivable. But he would not show this in public. He would show this at the Srivas Angan in the night. We have Kirtan in the daytime. All of us sleep in the night. But Mahaprabhu was saying, why waste time? Human form of life is so rare. One day he proclaimed to his associates at Srivas Angan, I guess we should spend our night very fruitfully by having Kirtan. What do you think about this, Haridas Thakur? Oh, yeah, very good, definitely. Obviously, he was hungry for Harinam. Namacharya. So they all gathered and said, okay, we forget, renounce sleeping also. So all would come in the night and start dancing in the night. The whole world is sleeping. And they have loud Kirtan in the night. Much to the displeasure of the neighbors, just like we have here. Same thing. This is historical because wherever there is Kirtan, neighbors do get disturbed. Even Mahaprabhu's time, same happened. So this is quite historical. We are in parampara. Mahaprabhu's body in the mood of ecstasy would become very light suddenly. You can imagine a 7 feet tall body. Of course, he is God. His body cannot be weighed on a scale. If you put Mahaprabhu on a scale, suppose you have a scale, being a Libra scale, make him stand. Mahaprabhu, I want to see your weight. It would happen at one time that the scale will not even move. He's standing there, but it's not move. His body become light. And it would scale to such a way that you would have the whole weight of the universe on that scale. So it would become very light sometimes, like a wisp of cotton. And devotees would hold him like this, whole body, 7 feet tall, and push him from one person to another, and pass him from here to there. Cotton-like body, floating in the air. Gaur Shakti. Some of that associate Nityananda Prabhu would do that also. They would start jumping on a tree, small children. Start jumping on a tree, climb the tree, a banyan tree. A banyan tree, of course, is very strong. It can hold, a child or a big man. But what if you go to a distant twig? Can it hold a big man? It will crack. But what if you go and stand on the leaf of that tree? Can it hold you? Obviously not. But there are thousands of people on trees, on the leaves, and nobody is falling. This is the miracle. This is the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This happened many times in the Kirtan. So this rare, wonderful events, colorful events, all decorate Mahaprabhu's personality and his divinity, as Shiva Sangani showed this. So there are such unique features. Everything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in fact, is only unique. Everything about him is unique. His color of his body, the color of his eyes, his mood, the process he has given us, his devotees, his dham. Everything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is unique. That's why he is Sara Shiromani, the unique jewel on this planet Earth. The most unique jewel of this entire universe is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The process he gave us is called as Kirtan, Sankirtan, Kirtan. Very interesting thing is there in Kirtan. When the Mrudanga plays, in Kirtan there are supposed to be, how do we do a Kirtan? Even that is such a simple process, Mahaprabhu taught. So all that you need is a Mrudanga. It's called a Khol. In Bengal, it's Khol. Tathai, Tathai, Bajila, Khol. It's called a Khol, this Mrudanga. Khol. You require kartals. And the accompaniment is clapping. It's an important part of the Kirtan, clapping. People can have horns, it is said. There has to be dancing and rolling on the ground. This is a proper Kirtan. This is a very interesting instrument which is right now in front of us here. This Khol. It is said in the Khol plays, it is said there is a particular type of thing which happens. What is that? Diktan, diktan, digyetan. That's a particular type of beat. That's the sound of the khol. Diktan, diktan, digyetan. So the Murdanga is speaking. The Murdanga, being a divine instrument, expansion of Lord Balaram himself, speaks. Fee. People of this world who do not take interest in hearing the glories of the sound of Nanda Maharaj, fee upon them. Those who do not take pleasure in chanting the glories of the master of the gopis, fee upon them. In Hindi language, it's a dhikkar hai. The word is dhikkar. Dhikkar is upon that person who does not take interest in chanting Krishna's holy name. So the Murdanga is saying dhikkar, diktan, diktan, dikatan. That is the sound of the Murdanga. This is wonderful. Therefore, this instrument is not considered to be just like an ordinary instrument. Expansion of Lord Balaram. It is said, Krishna told in a spiritual sky, he said, I have to go to Kali Yuga to, you know, he's planning his journey to the planet Earth. So he tells his associates, I have to go. You know, like you tell anybody, all the people, Jana Hemko, you know, I have some job. So I have to go on Earth and, you know, do all these things. The flute said, what about me? But in this Leela, will you take me also? So Mahaprabhu said, Krishna said, in Gaur Leela, I don't play flute. So you cannot come because, you know. The flute started crying. He said, you don't take me? I've always been with you. How can I not be with you? I said, okay, you want to come with me? Come. So it said the flute turned into a Mrudanga. And this is transformation of flute of Krishna, Mrudanga of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gaur Bihita Kirtana Suni Anna Ridaya Nache. Therefore, in the songs also, you find this Mrudanga is glorified. Madhur Madhur Mrudanga Baje. Why this instrument is spoken, you know? It is special because this Mrudangam is a divine instrument. Because it has come to assist the Lord in spreading Naam Sankirtan of Yuga Dharma. Tate tate bhajila khol. This instrument is glorified. And something special about the kartal also is there. See, every time we use an instrument, we don't know, but some interesting information is given. In kartal, we play, you know, this standard ISKCON beat. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, isn't it? Ting, 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 ching, ching, ching. Nama, like that. You just go like that. So this kartal also is expansion of Balaram. It's also speaking its language. It's saying this, the language of the kartal is, it said, when the kartal beats three times, and the tune of the sankirtan of the holy name, it is giving three messages to the devotees. We will conquer death, message one. We'll conquer Yamaraj, message two. We'll conquer all the sources of Yamaraj, message three. Therefore, it said, when there is Harinam going on, death is not there. Yamaraj has got no jurisdiction. Yamududas, stay away. Therefore, it is said by the Acharyas, Prabhupada says, the safest place in the entire creation is which? Where there is, in Pentagon, right? Safest place, heavily guarded. Nobody can penetrate Pentagon. Yeah? Safest place. No. The safest place is where there is Hari Kirtan going on. Because Hari Kirtan conquers death. In fact, that happens with the motto of our hospital also. Prabhupada said this about hospitals. This is, I think, given in the CC. He said, a Krishna conscious hospital is a hospital to conquer the disease of death. That is the actual inner motto of Bhakti and hospital. We don't tell it to people. But when people die, we don't really mind so much. Because they get Tulsi, they get Harinam, they get Ganga water. A sinful, wretched Yavana coming there in massive heart attack or paralytic or just dies there in the hospital. That is inevitable. Either you're down the road or in the house or some nursing home or a hospital. That's going to. But if they're in Prabhupada's hospital, they get Prabhupada's special mercy. A loving nurse will come and put Gangajal in your mouth. Somebody will come just charging there and start reading Bhagavad Gita to the dying soul. Conquer the disease of death. That is the purpose of Hare Krishna mantra. To conquer death. The word Krishna also means that which can conquer death. So simply by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, we can conquer the inconquerable death. Therefore, devotees do not fear death. Devotees do not fear death. Devotees are abhay. Why? Because they have Krishna in the form of the holy name. Nam Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasavigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinatva Nama Namino. This is our conviction of a devotee, that Nam and Nami are not different. That Krishna is Nam and his name are non-different. Abhinatvam Nama Namino. Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this great gift of Nam. That if we have Krishna's holy name, we don't need anything in this world. Radhana Swami Maharaj came from at a time when there was Iran-Iraq war was going on. And he came in the night here, and devotees come and receive him in the night, and then he mercifully speaks something. So he was saying that what do devotees really need in their life? He's talking about all of us. What do devotees need in their life? So we may say, well, roti kapda makan. But no, not like that. That is a materialistic viewpoint. Roti kapda makan. So all devotees need only three things in life. They need Harikatha. They need Krishna Prasad. And you got Harikirtan. Right? Wherever you have Harikatha and Krishna's Prasadam and Krishna's Kirtan, a devotee is completely satisfied just doing these three things. And every program of ISKCON in the world, this is the only three things which you do. We had Kirtan, beautiful Kirtan. Now we are having Harikatha. We'll have Harikirtan again. And then we will have Krishna Prasad. That is the only simple, very simplistic formula of the ISKCON movement. No complexities. No big arrangements required. Any program, death ceremony, birth ceremony, marriage ceremony, any ceremony, whatever it is. Okay. A special note. At this point of time, 3 o'clock, we are all talking here about the glorious Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the land of Mahaprabhu's birth, Shrinavadeep Dham ki. In Shri Mayapur Dham, a special event is taking place right now. That most powerful incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has come not alone but with Pancha Tattva, divinity in five forms, Krishna in five forms. Pancha Tattvakam Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam, Bhakta Utaran, Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Five things. Pancha Tattva. They are right now, there is a beautiful Abhishek of the Lord going on over there. Hari Bol! So, we may not be so fortunate to be there in this very, very holy place. But the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is there in Navadvip is also at Chopati. He's also right here. Along with the associate Nityananda Prabhu. And all Gaur Bhakta Vrinda are all here. Sri Prabhupada is here. So, in separation, we can feel Mahaprabhu's presence even right here. So we can pray. Finally, we like to touch upon this point. That how do we really go about accessing this great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes, through his name. That's true. Mahaprabhu has invested his mercy in three things. His Naam, his Dham, and his devotees. These are reservoirs of unlimited Gauru Shakti. The holy names which we chant every day. The holy Dham of Navadvip is a reservoir of Mahaprabhu's mercy. And all of Mahaprabhu's associates, Srila Prabhupada, his sincere followers, those in the Parampara, the Shraddha Goswamis, they are all unlimited reservoirs of this Gaur Prem and Gaur Shakti. So finally, all this is made available to all of us, this rare mercy. What is now my responsibility to allow this mercy to enter into my heart? I am now surrounded by an ocean of mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love brought by him from the spiritual world. But now what is that one thing I have to do to allow that love to flood my desert-like heart? One thing required. Only one thing alone will allow this mercy to gush into our heart and sweep us in the flood of love of God. What is that? Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amanina mana dena kirtani sadahari. If we can somehow or the other make this simple adjustment in our consciousness to discard our false pride and ego, no matter what we are in this world, but adopt the genuine mood of being Krishna Kinkara, Tomara Kinkora Ami, Jivara Swarup Hoy, Krishna Ranitya Das. If we can somehow adopt this genuine mood in our heart that we are nothing, we are not Indians or Maharashtrians or Hindus or this or that, we are simply Krishna Das. If we can allow this humility to actually overpower our heart, abide and live by the principles of genuine humility, that humility is so powerful a quality that humility will attract that Shakti of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That humility will attract Krishna Prem into our heart. Without this humility, we could be surrounded in the ocean of love and remain dry. So this is the most urgent need of reformatory consciousness of our souls. To shed all pride, adopt a humble mood of being a servant. We are all servants. Some of us may be, you know, Prabhupada says this, Prabhus, you know, we address each other as Prabhu, this Prabhu, that Prabhu, like that. But even though people address us as Prabhu, we don't accept ourselves as Prabhu. But even if you think we are Prabhus, based on false ego, we are supposed to worship Mahaprabhu. He is the supreme master. He is a master of all masters, therefore he is called as Mahaprabhu. So even if you think you are a Prabhu, doesn't matter. Worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because that is the only way in Kali Yuga. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for giving a very patient hearing. If there are any questions or comments, we can have Kirtan otherwise. So, I'd like to request Akinchan Krishna Das Prabhu, who is bestowed by this very rare, melodious sound of his heart emitting from his vocal cords, to sing Harinam for the pleasure of Shishi Gaur Nithai. Hare Krishna. So in this way we are preparing our consciousness through this Kirtan to herald the most auspicious day of Gaur Purnima in intense anticipation. So let our hearts now get filled with anticipation to welcome Mahaprabhu on the day of his appearance on 25th of March. Hare Krishna.